one of the big questions legislators have is the definition of substantially similar. And to back up a bit, if a voter initiative goes to the ballot, as the coastal management program, its supporters hope it will go on the ballot this fall, if it's certified and goes on the ballot, and if lawmakers pass a bill during this session that is substantially similar to the law the initiative sponsors wrote, it won't have to go on the ballot. And from the initiative sponsors' perspective, that will be better. They won't have to mount a big statewide campaign, raise all the money. So they're hoping that effectively by having it on the ballot, they can pressure lawmakers into passing a bill. Now, legislators want to know, what does substantially similar mean? Because certainly from the House's perspective and the governor's perspective, the initiative goes further, effectively gives local communities more power than they would like to see. The governor has said he doesn't like communities having veto power over projects of state and national significance. So right now there's sort of this question where legislators have asked for a legal opinion from the Department of Law so they can clarify what kind of bill they would have to pass if they wanted to get that measure off the ballot.
Pass a measure that does not give local communities that much control, but still get the initiative off the ballot in August.
But if it is not similar enough to the initiative would still go forward. So it's really substantially similar, of course, is fairly subjective, but it is a legal term, so they're asking the lawyers to help them understand that term.
And this measure that we may see out of the Senate coming up to revamp or revise oil and gas taxes, what kind of indications are we seeing that might come out of that particular bill?
Well, from what the Senate leaders have said and from everything we've seen out of them the last year, I'm certain that it would not give up as much revenue as House Bill 110, the bill that the governor and the House have supported and passed, would do. So I'm sure it would give up a lot less revenue, and any revenue that it would give up sounds like it would be, they would reduce the progressivity a bit, so they would reduce the effective tax rates at very high oil prices, and that any kind of other reductions, I think they would try to write into the bill some kind of guarantees, or it would be in response to oil companies actually doing something to produce more oil. That's at least what Senator French, Senator Wilikowski, Stevens, Senator Stedman have indicated would be the kind of thing we'd see. And hopefully that bill will be out next week, they've said.
So in other words, we'll lower the taxes, but we want something in return.
Yes, they want more of a guarantee than the sort of conceptual notion that the governor has advanced, that if we lower taxes, it will spur development.
And would this guarantee be binding in any way, or is that what they're trying to hammer out?
Yeah, I can't really speculate beyond that, so we'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
I'm kind of interested in kind of the whole atmosphere with, I believe, all but one lawmaker up for election this fall with redistricting.
I think it kind of colors things. It's very much behind, subsurface issue, the fact that because of redistricting, many lawmakers' districts have changed, and 59 out of the 60 legislators will be up for re-election, many of them in very changed districts that may be less favorable to them, or they may be pitted against other incumbents. So I think, and the facts that we do know are that Southeast Alaska and rural Alaska, due to demographic shifts, are going to lose some representation. So I think for the Senate coalition, which is, this is its sixth year, and it's a bipartisan governing coalition because there's been a 10-10 split, Democrats and Republicans in the Senate. And I think most people believe this is really going to be the end of the coalition, that the Republicans will probably take a majority in the Senate and go back to Republican leadership. And I think for Senator Lyman Hoffman, who's kind of been one of the real leaders in the Senate coalition, he is a Senate Finance Co-Chair. He is from Bethel, Alaska. He's a registered Democrat, although like many rural legislators, I would say he's more, his party is probably the party of pragmatism. Senator Hoffman in particular and Senator Stedman from Sitka, his co-chair, I think they really want to secure the future for Southeast and rural Alaska particularly. They've been pushing hard for big energy projects to try to long-term reduce the cost of energy. So you'll see them, working to try to get a very big capital budget as they have in the past few years. But I think they see this in some ways as maybe their last chance to secure sort of big energy infrastructure projects in particular.
And we have substantial reserves, although we're facing declining revenues in the future. How is that coloring what's being done at the Capitol?
I think it's really interesting, and it's really an important context for everything going on, is we have this financial paradox. In brief, we have unprecedented amounts of cash reserves, about $15 billion, and it's predicted to grow by another $3 or $4 billion by the end of fiscal year 13. That's not counting the permanent fund with $39 billion. So it's sort of, you could look at this and say, my gosh, we're so rich, and why does Governor Parnell sound so stingy? But that's the other side of it, that oil production is falling, and the price of oil, the price of our oil that's needed to balance the budget has climbed very rapidly, and that makes legislators pretty nervous because, as we all know, oil prices are volatile. And in FY13, it's expected that we will need at least $100 per barrel, that would be the average selling price of our oil to balance the budget. And that is up. Just from fiscal year 10, a few years ago, the break-even price was $64. So anything above $64 was a surplus, anything below $64, and we would run a deficit. So the Legislative Finance Division's analysts have predicted that, according to the official revenue forecast for the state and spending, if it were to continue along the trajectory it's been on, we would be in deficit mode by fiscal year 15. So that is kind of why I think a lot of Alaskans are thinking, we have so much money, why do legislators not want to spend it? And there's this real, there are some big decisions they need to make about what to do with our reserves, how to make them last for the future, or how to invest them properly, whether that's invested in the markets, invested in capital projects, invested in education. Everybody has a different idea about what that means.